Today I'm going to talk about a job that we're doing currently. Yes, it's current work. It's also from the last year. I'm going to talk about infiltration from two-dimensional sources. This work, my colleagues for this work are Art Warwick from the University of Arizona, Alex Fruman from the Technion, Israel, and David Zerihan from University of Arizona. And I want to say also that this work was sponsored by Bard. Okay, John said before, that we have two ways to solve equation. We have the analytical solution and we have the numerical solutions. And another way to do it is a combined way between the analytical solution and the numerical solution, and this is what I'm going to talk about today. We have some advantages of the analytical solutions. They are fast for calculations. It's very good for sensitivity analysis and inverse modeling. And we have independent calculation for any time considered. It's very important since we don't need to run the full simulation in order to get the final result. For instance, if we want steady state results, we don't need to run a numerical model for longer times. The disadvantage is mathematically challenging to obtain. Not very many people. I think most of the people that know how to obtain those analytical solutions are sitting in this room. And it's very hard to get them. And many equations even cannot be solved analytically. The numerical solutions are more flexible, of course. And they can analyze complex systems, including irregular boundaries and non-constant boundaries and initial condition. And also important, we can analyze coupled flow. Heat transport, solid transport, water flow can be analyzed together. The disadvantage of a numerical solution is that often it involves extensive numerical calculations and they are very hard to run. You need to know time discretization, space discretizations, numerical analysis. You need really to know good computers, and only also few people can really understand and solve numerical solutions. What I'm trying to do today is to replace the numerical modeling of multi-dimensional water flow with an easy-to-use form using the edge effect approach. Now I'm going to tell you what is the edge effect approach and how I'm going to replace the numerical solution. Okay, the edge effect approach. If we look at this equation from Heverkamp et al. In 94, the cumulative three-dimensional infiltration per unit of source area, the I3D, can be a sum of the one-dimensional cumulative infiltration plus some edge effect. So in this edge effect, we have gamma, which is a constant, and Heverkamp in his paper say that this constant is around 0.75. We have the sorptivity, and inside the sorptivity, we have the soil hydraulic parameters. We have the boundary condition and the initial condition, the theta, inside the disk, and also in the profile, and we have the disk radius. So if we look at this equation carefully, we can see that there is two terms here. There are two terms. One is the one-dimensional infiltration, cumulative infiltration, and an edge effect, and it's linear equation. So if we know the one-dimensional infiltration, so and if we know this edge effect value, and if we add them together, we will know the three-dimensional infiltration. So what we did is we took the hydrus 2D in axisymmetrical configuration, axisymmetrical domain, and we calculate in a few soils to see if this Heverkamp et al. Equation is working. So we had a surface disk with some radii, some water content on the surface, and some initial water content in the soil. The result of the three-dimensional infiltration is here. Now, we did the same with Hydrus 1D, which is solving the one-dimensional infiltration, and the result is here. Okay, those two curves are curving, but let's see what happens if we subtract the 1D from the 3D. So it's linear with time. The edge effect is increasing with time, but it's linear. Okay, if it's linear, let's try to do it also for a strip source. We derive this equation for a strip source, and instead of x, we have instead of r, the radius, we have the x, the semi-width of the strip, and we have the two-dimensional cumulative infiltration here, which is the sum of the 1D and edge effect. Again, we have the gamma value and the sorptivity, which are sorptivity is the soil properties and initial and boundary conditions. We did the same calculation with the Hydrus 2D. We have a strip source with a strip semi-axis here and initial conditions of theta 0 and initial condition, I'm sorry, of theta sub n and boundary condition of theta sub 0. We solve the Richard's equation and the result was the two-dimensional infiltration is equal to the one-dimensional cumulative infiltration plus the edge effect. And the edge effect is affected by the time, the hydraulic parameters, the boundary conditions, and the initial conditions. Of course, we use the Van Genochten-Mualem equation for the soil properties. We use various textures, soil textures, from sandy soils to clay soils, and six different textures, and the values are from Castle and Parrish. The values are embedded in the Hydrus model. This is the result of loamy soil, six representative soil with the semi-width of 10 centimeters, the semi-width of the strip, and it's linear, all of them, clay, silt loam, sand, everything is linear. In this time it was very impressive that to see that it's linear with time. Now we put all those gamma values versus M. This is M from Van Genochten's equation, and look at the result. In the middle texture soil, this gamma value is not so far from the gamma value that was calculated by Everkamp et al. It's 0.75. But in sandy soil and clay soils, it's much different. So here we have results for the strip and the disc sources, the surface strip and disc sources. Now this gamma value is affected by the strip semi-width. So increasing the semi-width, you're increasing this gamma. It's affected by the initial condition in the strip. So decreasing the water content or decreasing the pressure head in the strip, you change the gamma. And for different soils, you can have different curves. This is for the initial condition in the soil. Again, different soils, different shapes of the curves. Okay, so what we wanted to do is, okay, if we have the one-dimensional equation, for instance, if you get it from a simple equation like Green and Amp or another simple one-dimensional equation like Perlange equation, and you add on top of it an edge effect that was calculated using numerical simulation. So somebody need to run numerical simulation, and then he can give you the edge effect if you just tell him the initial conditions, the boundary conditions, and the properties of the domain, and you can do it in a simple, explicit equation, and then you can use Excel file or something simple like this that you can hand out to people and say, okay, you have simple way to calculate infiltration with not a lot of effort. Yet this knowledge of this equation is based on numerical simulation that somebody did in the past. Somebody that is well trained, somebody that know how to make space and time discretization. And so this was the strip in time dependent. Now we derived also the limiting case for the steady state in long times, and the limiting case for a steady state for strip source for a disk source, surface disk source, is well known, is the Wooding equation, which we use the Gardner soil, and we derived the same similar equation for a strip source. Okay, I think it's the first time that somebody did a steady state equation for the strip source. I will talk about it a little bit later. Instead of having this R, we have the semi-width, and instead of 4, we have 2, but it can be used, and we have a steady state equation for a strip source. We compared our result to the result from Basha, which are exact. He did a very a good calculation, I can say, for calculating the infiltration versus the semi-width of the strip, and our result and his results compares very good in the high semi-width, and in the small they are not so good. But also Wooding result is not so good in this area, and maybe we need to correct something here, like Wooding did in the end. More practical question is furrow irrigation. We calculate the same approach of adding this edge effect to one-dimensional infiltration is to use furrow irrigation. We simulated again with Hydrus 2D furrow irrigation. We use different soils, different initial condition, different boundary condition, different shape of the source. We used rectangular, triangular, and parabolic sources. And we have a little bit different equation. And here we have an adjusted wetted parameter that is an added value, added the parameter that wasn't before. And again, these results are from the hydrus. So we calculating the cumulative discharge from these three different furrow shapes, and we are trying to infiltrate the same amount of water. It's 0.1 meter squared. Okay, we're doing the same calculation with the same initial and boundary conditions in the Hydrus 1D. When I mean the same initial conditions, it's easy, and the boundary condition, we're using the pressure head that will be in the center of gravity of the ferro. So by substituting the 2D minus the 1D, we have this edge effect. And again, also in the ferro infiltration, it's linear with time. Linear with time, very nice. We can take a very simple method to calculate infiltration like Green and Amp, and we can add on top of it the edge effect, and this is the result. It's not so far from the Hydrus 2D calculation. Just to know that regular engineers will calculate the Green and Amp or Kostyakov or whatever infiltration function they use and multiply it by the wetted perimeter. Okay, so my conclusion for this talk are three conclusions. First, the difference between the cumulative infiltration per unit area source area of the two-dimensional strip and the one-dimensional source are linearly related to time. Once gamma and ID are known, okay, the ID should be from, for instance, from Kostyakov or from Green and Amp, and this gamma value should come from a numerical simulation of many scenarios, and I2D can be calculated easily by adding the edge effect. And we found a simplified expression for the limiting steady state case, which is analogous to the Wooding equation for infiltration from shallow pond. What next? We want to do the same thing for infiltration from boreholes. the three-dimensional infiltration for boreholes, mainly for parameter estimation. Another thing that this is result from last week, I took this equation, the strip source, the steady state strip source, surface strip source. Art doesn't want that I'll call it Voric equation because he wants it will be a Wooding two-dimensional equation, but I will call it Voric equation, whatever. So what I did here is I used the dense installation of drippers, and if you use the dense installation, immediately you will have a strip source on the surface, and if you use a different discharge rates or a different spacing between drippers, you will have a different discharge rates. And here I use three different discharge rates, and what happened is I have three different semi-width. If you use this equation, it's again linear equation, and from this you can calculate the Ks, which is the intercept of this equation, and from the slope you can get alpha. This method was already done 20 years ago by Shani, 87, and it was for a surface disk source. Now I'm using it for a surface strip source. So this is the future. That's all. Okay, might work for layered soil. I never checked it before. I think it will work because here we looking only on the infiltration and we are not looking on the distribution of the water in the soil. So the infiltration in the early stages, I'm sure that it will be linear with time, almost sure, okay? I'll check it. The first thing that I will go home and I'll check it.